of staff, the sale of precious objects, the loss of family papers. Possibly it is better that the paper matter of our lives, all those photographs, stamped envelopes and wish-you-were-here postcards, simply end up as rubbish. Or should a person, a writer, scoop up the remains of the letters and try to make sense of a life that is rapidly becoming history? Some days I believe that I am a receptor for Selma Hamed's wish to have her story told, and that the force of this wish outlived her and gathered a power of its own. Other days, I feel more like a scavenger at the tip, or a car boot fair, plucking out a picture here or a fur coat there to keep for myself. Perhaps, in a way, I am both.
The last of this week's essays in the series I've Never Told Anyone This Before was presented by Suzanne Joynson. It was produced by Jill Waters and was a Waters Company production for BBC Radio 3. Next week's essays consider World War I around the world. The Christmas Truce, Paris, is the first of the programmes. That's Monday night at 10:45.
The most audacious and original work of my life is how Wagner described his epic Tristan and Isolde. On Monday evening, Radio 3 presents an opera born from legend, now a landmark of Western music. Music of thrilling power and sensuality tells a tale of forbidden love which consumes three lives with the force of its passions. The cast is led by an outstanding trio of singers, with tenor Stephen Gould as Tristan, soprano Nina Stemmer as Isolde, and Sir John Tomlinson as King Mark. Join us for Wagner's Tristan and Isolde from the Royal Opera House Covent Garden in Opera on 3, Monday evening at 5:45 here on BBC Radio 3 and again via the Radio 3 website.
This Friday night, Boxing Day night here on BBC Radio 3, there's music through the night with Katrina Young beginning at 1 o'clock. First, it's World on 3 with Marianne Kennedy.
So, as we near the end of Boxing Day, a day with its roots in the open-hearted, charitable side of Christmas, whether you've been hunting the wren, watching the traditional Boxing Day game, or just hiding from it all, we have a couple of hours of global joy to take you away from all the palaver. And what a way to do it. This year, of course, saw many momentous events, many of them north of the border, including the elevation of Glasgow's reputation as the friendly city to first stop welcome destination for sportsmen, women and fans the world over for the Commonwealth Games. It still puts a huge smile on my face that my hometown put on such a great show. BBC Radio 3 and World on 3 set the bar high for our Commonwealth connections, and the end result was a radio safari around all 53 countries that took part in the Games during the summer, encountering unique musical traditions and hearing from sports and cultural icons on special pieces of music from home and why they meant so much to them. So, tonight we're going to revisit some of the highlights from the Commonwealth Connection series. You'll hear music from some of those 53 countries: Samoa, Bahamas, South Africa, Brunei, Uganda, Jamaica, Pakistan, Malta, Singapore, and many more. But we're going to start in Australia, where producer Sushil K-Dade, himself a fine musician, he was in his glory back in March, getting the chance to meet two great exponents of the didgeridoo, contemporary and traditional, Mark Atkins and Adrian Burragubba. The setting was urban Brisbane, but in no time, Adrian had us swept up into the world of the Aboriginal Dreamtime, weaving stories, music, songlines together with the didge in its purest form.
Dreamtime is the creation period when all things came into being. The universe and the earth was a void place. There was darkness. There was nothing here. And the Great Spirit brought the sun into being. And we call that Dagari. And then the Great Spirit made the earth, which is the Nani. And then the Great Spirit formed water. And as the water fell from the heavens, there appeared a rainbow serpent. We call it Mandinjara. And the Mandinjara fell to the surface of the earth and painted all the picture of the whole earth. even underneath the earth. So all things came into being from water. This is the time of the great water spirit, the rainbow serpent. This is the dreaming. My name is Adrian Burugaba. My people are the Babanbara clan. We come from the place which is called Wangan country, and my language is Wiri language. I'm from central Queensland. We use the didgeridoo now as a part of our song and dance, and it's a part of our culture now. I play the instrument almost 3 or 4 hours every day. This is the story of the rainbow serpent that at this point in time now, he sleeps in the Balbara. Balbara is a great river, and the water, which is the Gamu Gamu, flows in place where the Mandanjara is. So this is a resting place. Mandanjara, Umbara, sleeping in the Balbara, where the great Gamu Gamu is, the great water. It's the water spirit. Mandanjara humbadal mandanjara palbara mandanjara humbadal mandanjara karmara mandanjara humbadal mandanjara palbara mandanjara humbadal mandanjara kamo kamo Mandinjara umbada mandinjara palvara mandinjara umbada mandinjara kamara mandinjara umbada mandinjara palvara mandinjara umbada mandinjara kamur kamur. Our song lines relate to the different skin names in the clans that would marry within traditional customary law. So those song lines would travel across the water. Those song lines were kept together so that we maintain a proper relationship with each and every tribal group around Australia. That's the reason why we have those song lines, to maintain the connection with law. Each group, we treaty with each other so we know each other's law and custom.
Walla jingle bala bolo, walla jingle bala bolo, walla jingle bala bolo, yore 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 ya, walla jingle bala bolo.
Adrian Burugaba performing at a didgeridoo festival in Woolongabba, Brisbane, and recorded by Joanna Adams. Our Australian start to tonight's Commonwealth Connections highlights here on World on 3. And remember, you can visit Commonwealth Connections on the BBC Radio 3 website. Head for World on 3 and follow the links there for a list of songs, downloadable podcasts and extended musical recordings and blogs from the various destinations. Next up, we head to East Africa and Kenya, to one of the most memorable of the connections for me, because of where part of it was recorded. I'll tell you more about that shortly, but first let's hear a band who belong to the Luo people, to whom President Obama is famously related. The Sega Sega band play Benga music. That's the style that's been at the root of Kenyan pop music from the 60s right through to the present day. The melodies and the rhythms are shaped by the tuning of the traditional Nyatiti lyre and Orutu, a kind of single string fiddle. But they've brought things up to date with up-tempo dance grooves and transferred the musical lines to the modern day guitar.
Ngatoto en ngato makati luare machalo nandi tu eno chai achaya ni dano to en dano ana. Ngato to en ngato makati luare machalo nandi tu
achaya ni dhano to en dhano ananeno ni luoro ng'ato ra. Omiyo ji duto romo katine dine en gi mwandu to kik ichari e ng'ato nga mwandu to gin muya makati yude to rumo. Omiyo ji duto romo kati dhier mikwayo ji to Nyasaye konyi akonya uchopo chieng' moro ma inibed ni in go. Jumoko maneni go ema tiwa neno kamwendo tamo tigi neno ni wich kuot omiyo e piny ka kikisunguri ni yau.
The Sega Sega Band from Kenya. Now, I mentioned a very special recording venue earlier. Well, the African Heritage House is something of an architectural wonder, striking in its design but still in keeping with its surroundings in the beautiful Nairobi National Park. It's the home of the reclusive Alan Donovan and one of the finest African art collections on the continent. And it's here, back in May, that Lindsay Pell met Ayub Ogada, something of a world music celeb, recording as he does on Peter Gabriel's Real World label. Here, though, he took a moment to return to his acoustic roots and talk about that ancient nyatiti, the traditional instrument of the Luo people, and how he's evolved a gentler sound that complements his voice so well.
This is a very interesting acquisition. So you see this cow skin here is most probably 300 years old. It's never been changed. All I've changed is the strapping. But I think the bells were made first, and then the hide came after. But whoever the blacksmith was, I'll give you an example. This is the bass one. This is cow skin. It takes one cow to make one yantiti. And the skin comes from the back of the neck. This is fig tree. Men, this is eucalyptus. And this is either banana fiber or a reed from the river. This is papyrus, these two. This is a tree called podo, which is a softwood. And this is, of course, beeswax, mixed with ash to make it black. It's absolutely ingenious.
Yeah.
As soon as I discovered this instrument, I fell in love. When I want to play music, I picked this one up. Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. The first song I think I'm going to do is Dala, which means home. In Kijaluo, translation means home, Dala. My stage name is Ayub Okada. My family name is Job Seda. Now, Job and Ayub are the same names. When you read the Bible, you read the book of Ayub, the book of Job. And that is me.
Chill to curry to chew mana candy. Are you to wear a good chocolate on a meal? I deck to wear a key on an art, my bay. I went to wear a good chocolate, yero, a mako you. I went to wear a good chocolate, yero, a mako you. And a chill to go to the chumana candy. Are you to a rookie chocolate mana meal? I deck to a rookie yawn on the autumn, my bye. I went to a rookie chother wood, yer over my call you. I went to a rookie chother new wood, yer over my call you.
Okay, Nyatiti means daughter of the clan. She's female. It's a female instrument. It means daughter of the clan. It's made from cowhide. It takes one cow to make an entity. The skin is only taken from the back of the neck of the cow. That's the skin. The back, the bowl, the sound, the resonance comes from fig tree. This is made from fig tree. The arms and the head, that's eucalyptus. Now up here with the strings, what we do is we use banana fiber or like papyrus fiber. So it depends on which area you come from in Kisumu. Now the strings all have names. These four, they're called the women, mon. These are called the women. Those four strings. This one is called Mbang Bang. That one is called Bang Bang. And this is the sister of Bang Bang, the bass string. Now we come to the only male part of the instrument, which is the soprano, the highest string in the room. This is called Titi. And this one, yes, it's called Thuan, the cockerel. The top string is called the cockerel. So those are the names of the strings. And when you play the instrument, it speaks its name. Nya Titi. Nyatiti, anyatiti, it praises itself. So, let's say. So it's like this, the instrument actually praises itself. And the instrument is used for funerals, births, or just regular enjoyment. And people come and ask you, they come and give you their name, their family name, and then you sing to praise them. And they'll pay you for this. This is how most traditional Nyatiti players earn their living. So Nyatiti players' job is to praise.
The ongoing connections between music and community. Ayub Ogada and the Nyatiti of the Luo people of Kenya. And although we're only dipping into highlights of some of the Commonwealth Connections series on tonight's World on 3, you can, of course, enjoy them all in their full glory online on the Radio 3 website. Just follow the world music links. You're listening to World on 3 with me, Marianne Kennedy, savouring just a few of the many musical highlights of the Commonwealth Connection series that ran through early 2014 in the run-up to the Glasgow Commonwealth Games. And we're going to hear from Samoa next. The heritage tracks were something rather special. Artists, cultural commentators, and some of the Commonwealth athletes themselves shared with us a particular song or piece of music from their home or upbringing that meant something special to them, or that summed up some vital aspect of their country's personality. For Sia Figuil, award-winning novelist, painter and poet, this meant Lota Nu, sung by the Samoa Teachers Choir. As she explained, the concept of children of the great ocean Moana brings together islanders throughout the Pacific, but for Samoans in particular, it's pretty much their unofficial national anthem, with an emotional response to match.
My name is Sia Figuil. I'm a writer, a poet, and a painter. I've written three books, three novels, and a collection of short of poetry. My first novel, Where We Once Belonged, won the 1997 Commonwealth Writers' Prize. Best first book for the Southeast Asia and South Pacific region. I am originally from Apia, Samoa. The song I've chosen is Lota Nu, as performed by the Samoa Teachers College. Lota Nu'u means my country, or my island, or my place of birth. It's truly the most compelling piece of music I find in the Samoan language, and that it's almost seen as a second national anthem, not only for Samoa, but for all Samoans, regardless where they live, either in Samoa or in the diaspora. Lotanu'u speaks of one's birthplace, it speaks of one's duty to that place, but more specifically, it talks about the genealogy of all Samoan people, which is linked directly to Moana, or Mother Ocean. In the refrain where you hear Sa Moana, it talks about the people of the ocean, which basically also refers to the ocean as sustaining, as life sustaining, as the life force. For me, I've grown up with this song, as were my friends and those dear to me. It is sung at the end of every function where Samoans gather. And what is most moving to me is not only do Samoans know the words to this song, but whenever it's sung in the midst of my Tongan or Fijian friends, everyone seems to know the words to this song. And that's why I chose it, because it speaks not only to Samoans, but to Pacific people in general.
And not just Pacific people either. What stunning music. Author Sia Figuil with her heritage track from Samoa. And that element of the Commonwealth Connections, the heritage track, has stayed with World on 3, with our session guests each week now bringing along a piece of music that's significant in their lives. Do listen out for them. Well, our next port of call is the Caribbean and an island of global musical influence. Where else but Jamaica? But this band takes us back to one of the styles of music that was a forerunner of reggae. Mento is often confused with its close cousin Calypso. In fact, its most mainstream exponent, Harry Belafonte, was marketed as a Calypso star. But it was a genre and style in its own right, blending easygoing music and humour with observant social comment. I'm going to hand over now to the Jolly Boys, a famous mento band who got together in the years after the Second World War, entertaining the guests of Errol Flynn's parties and the like.
Good day. Jolly Boys coming to you, straight from Jamaica. Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, but the handsome schoolie girl, I don't have train line. Now, what the handsome schoolie girl, don't have train line. Some men love the way she walk, some men love the way she talk. Now, what the handsome schoolie girl, don't have train line.
I'm Derek Henry from the Jolly Boys. I've been in the band from 1956. I'm living right down the lane. And it's sky is nice when it's dry, but when it's wet it kinda get tedious.
Mento music is the first indigenous music created in Jamaica. It came out of the halls and the ballrooms of the planter crafts. Quadrille dancing was prevalent, which was considered to be probably the first world music. And that was carried, you know, it was a basic form of square dancing out of France initially, the courts in Paris, and spread through the great houses of Jamaica. So quadrille was the music that local musicians after emancipation would play and carry, and they'd go around villages as like wandering minstrels, really, and maybe a village or a little small town would have its own mento band. What started to happen was that they needed more of a freedom in the movement and the dance. They felt restricted within the square dancing formations of quadrille. So when they'd have a dance, what they'd do is they'd play five figures which would maybe be five quadrilles, the formal one, and then the sixth figure was a mento, it was called, and everybody could brook out, as they call it in Jamaica, which is free-form dancing, wildness, and, you know, maybe with a girl. And so eventually what happened was that people started enjoying the mento much more, so the mento took over and quadrille has really very much slipped into the background. Hi, my name's Rick Eldred. I manage the Jolly Boys. I also study mento. We're sitting by the East Harbour in Port Antonio with the three old boys, the three of the original Jolly Boys who have actually played. Johnny played from 1956 when he first joined them. Powder joined in the 60s. Albert's played in and out with Jolly Boys through the 60s and right up till now.
Yeah, I've been singing all my life, you know. Yeah. Born singing. I have born singing.
Ask my mother for her. I'm going to ask her father. Father for her. The girl too good looking. And looking fine.
Now, Johnny is on my right. He is the oldest member of the Jolly Boys alive today. You know? And my further right is Powder. We call him Powder. You know? He's the Powder man. So we've been playing together for a very, very long time, you know. We grow together now. So when we strike off, we know what we're doing, you know. Hey! Jolly Boy coming to you. And this one is called Riders on the Storm. Riders on the storm, riders on the storm,
Into this house we were born. Into this world we were thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out and lone. Rider on the storm. Rider on the storm. Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we were born. Into this world we were thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out and lone. Riders on the storm. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let the children play. If you give this man a ride, his memory will die. Killer on the road. Killer on the road. Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we were born. Into this world we were thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out and lone. Riders on the storm. Bang 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 bang. A bang ka bang ka bang ka bang ka bang. Bang 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 bang. Bang 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 bang. Bang 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 bang. Bang 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 bang. Bang 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 bang. Girl, you got to love your man. Girl, you got to love your man. Take him by the hand. Let him understand. The world on you depends. Our life will never end. You got to love your man. You got to love your man. Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we were born. Into this world we were thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out and lone. Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
Yeah.
Oh, the Doors upstaged for sure. The Jolly Boys, recorded back in January by Chris McConaughey on the Caribbean shores of the little fishing village of Port Antonio in Jamaica. And you can hear more of the Jolly Boys and the songs of Love of the Girls with the Big Bumpers on the Commonwealth Connections pages of the Radio 3 website. Singapore is our next destination, the most densely populated of all the Commonwealth countries and an enthusiastic supporter of the Games. Delhi was their big year with a dozen gold medals to show for it. It's also home to an esteemed group of older Weijiang musicians originating from Chaozhou in southern China. Weijiang music and opera was a highly refined style popular in pre-cultural revolutionary China, but which was then suppressed as elitist, and it's now extinct on the mainland. But here, in their small shop house in the Geylang neighbourhood, these senior gentlemen still take pride in performing pieces such as Pipa Verse and Little Peach Red.
We are in the Tao Yun Amateur Music Society in Geylang in Singapore. Here we play a style of Weijiang music from inland China that's unchanged. 50 years ago, there were 5 societies. Now, there's only us. My name is Yao Hao Jiang. My father was a member of the Tao Yung Amateur Music Society. I used to come along with him and enjoyed the music, so I started learning it too. I've lived in Singapore since I was 10 years old. I began learning the pipa after the war, and I've been practicing it for years to improve my playing.
Mm-hmm.
This style of music was brought to Singapore by immigrants moving to Southeast Asia for work. This Waijiang style of music does still exist in China, but it sounds different. We have tried to preserve the style as it was many years ago without modernizing. You can only hear this particular type of Waijiang music from us now. This song is called Little Peach Red. These songs are very simple. There was a teacher here who taught us, starting with the score of the music. It grows from that starting point, and you add on different patterns and build from there.
Taoyong Amateur Music Association, maintaining the tradition that Waijiang music should never be played for financial gain. And Laura Metcalf and Rob Winter were behind that recording. You can read Laura's blog on the many facets of Singaporean culture they encountered online on the Radio 3 website. Another heritage track now, music with a special place in the heart of artists or sports people from the various countries featured in Commonwealth Connections. For Pakistan's Kiran Khan, one of the country's first female international swimmers, the song she chose sums up the support that she's received from family, especially her father, in her goal to pursue an international sports career. No easy task in a Muslim country. Her uplifting choice is Jazba-e-Janoon, Tohimat Nahar, by Pakistani rock star Ali Azmat.
I'm Kiran Khan and I represent Pakistan, and my respective sports is swimming, and I've been swimming for 13 long years and I'm training for the Glasgow Commonwealth Games. the song that I chose is the one of the most famous song of Pakistan, and it's one of the most famous song of Asia as well. It's called Jazba Janoon Tu Himmat Na Haar by Ali Azmat. It's the band called is Janoon. The meaning of this song is rise above your passion. It's all about there's no limit to success, and you will have it once you work hard for it. It's all about, you know, giving positive energy to the youth, to the athletes, to yourself as well. Being a professional swimmer, it's really tough because I belong to a country which is Muslim. And being a Muslim, you know, there's lots of stuff comes around me that I have to be in a parda. I have to, you know, look forward to some things that I cannot expose myself to. I have been always supported by my family, especially my father. He wanted me to become a swimmer for international class. He himself is a world master gold medalist. He supports women a lot. He made my mom a doctor as well. So he wanted me to, especially when I was born, he just said that I want my daughter to live free and achieve whatever she can. She has only one life to live, and I want her to, you know, fulfill all her dreams and become someone people can look up to and women can look up to, and, you know, say, and if she can become something, if so, we can be. In Pakistan, usually after 18 or even the girl turns 20, parents really, you know, want her to get married or settle down or maybe start a job. They don't really come towards sports, but nowadays when they see me coming for these events and winning medals, they really want their daughters to be in sports, not in swimming, but other sports as well. They do support them, but at the same time, they are also worried about the society we live in. When people start talking, their priorities change and, you know, things becomes difficult for them. I am a role model because I go to universities, I go to college, I am a motivational speaker as well. It's a tough job being a role model because you have to maintain a certain level of your respect. Everything really counts and it matters to me as well, so I want to give the best of me in a very nice way. What keeps me going is the love of the people who support me throughout my hard times and throughout who wants to see me representing Pakistan. It's their love that keeps me going.
Swimmer Kiran Khan, very much aware of her responsibility as role model for young Pakistani women, and one of the over 4,500 athletes that visited Glasgow this summer to compete in the Commonwealth Games. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on 3, revisiting our Commonwealth Connections series from the run-up to the Games here on BBC Radio 3. 2014 also marked the 20th anniversary of the Rwandan genocide, triggered by the assassination of the Rwandan president. What followed was a horrific 100 days of mass murder with an estimated death toll of over 500,000. Rwanda's capital, Kigali, today, however, reflects the huge transformation in the country since then, and music has been a significant part of that change. Singer and inanga player Sophie Nzayisenga lost brothers and sisters in the conflict, only surviving herself by hiding in the bush with her father.
Icyo gihe mu mwaka w'igihumbi kimwe magana cyenda mirongo icyenda na kane nari mfite imyaka cumi n'itanu ndibuka.
In 1994, I was 15 years old. I had passed my school exams, so my dad said he would take me on a trip from our village to see Kigali. We were staying at my elder brother's house in Kigali, and that's when we heard that the then president's plane had been shot down. That started everything off. This was the first time I had ever heard gunshots. I saw so much. I saw people being killed right in front of the house. I saw women being raped. We realized we had to try and escape from the city. But then someone threw a bomb into our courtyard and many people were killed. I got separated from my brother, but my dad took hold of my hand and we ran. We got out of the city and began the long, horrible journey back to our village. We thought we'd be safe there. We walked for a whole week before we reached the village. And when we arrived there, it was all gone. Our house was burned to the ground, our family was gone, so many killed. So my dad and I went into hiding in the bush, and we just stayed there until finally the country was liberated by the Patriotic Front. That's why some of us still carry the wounds today. But the fight now is not with each other. We are fighting together to be self-reliant, to be united. I think music is the best healer for wounded souls. Music can take people from the deep hole of sorrow and bring them back to light. Traditionally in Rwanda, we have songs to soothe the soul. We have songs to put babies to sleep. We have music for people to get up and dance for joy. So naturally, in Rwandan traditional music, already music had that role of healing. I do have a big hope for a better tomorrow. There is a saying in Rwanda which says, if you know where you've just come from, then you will know where you're going. So if we don't forget the past, what's brought us to where we are today, then we can have great hope that we are going towards a better future.
An optimistic viewpoint from Sophie Nzayisenga in a country where we are all Rwandans now. Thanks to our own Roger Short, who made that trip to Rwanda for Commonwealth Connections in April of this year. Back to our heritage tracks, music that we might not ever get to hear, as well as being music with a special relevance to the folk that shared it with us. In Papua New Guinea, that was Jeffrey Feger, the nation's leading visual artist. He chose a song by George Telek that celebrates the connections with their fellow islanders across the border in West Papua. And Jeffrey very much sees sport as a path towards unity.
My name is Jeffrey Figa. I am a visual contemporary artist from Papua New Guinea. The song I've chosen is West Papua by the musician George Telek. George Telek is a very prolific Papua New Guinean musician. He's world recognized, and I wanted to choose a song from him because I thought he really encapsulated a lot of what goes on in the minds of ordinary people of Papua New Guinea. And I think the song that he wrote of called West Papua is about our neighbors across the border, and it's political in nature, but it is said in a very positive way, and I think it brings to light a very important social issue, but at the same time it celebrates our connective pride of being Melanesian with shared Melanesian ethnicity with our people across the border in West Papua. It's very difficult to pin Papua New Guinea down because it's incredibly culturally diverse. You are talking about literally over 800 different spoken languages and just as many different cultures. Actually, painting is really an unusual occupation, and a lot of my paintings reflect the everyday, so I look at ordinary things. But I try to look at them in perhaps a mysterious way. And for me, I mean, that reflects how I think we as Papua New Guineans see the world. We see an ordinary world, but through a mysterious lens. And that really goes back to our culture, our rich traditional culture, and our belief in the spirit world. Commonwealth Games is really does become a focal point, and it has been known to stop the nation. We had a swimmer by the name of Ryan Pinney win a gold medal, and it really brought the nation together.
Papua New Guinea's George Telek, heritage track choice of artist Jeffrey Feger. And you can find all the heritage tracks, as well as country features, blogs, podcasts and additional recordings on the Radio 3 website. Head for World on 3 and follow the links to Commonwealth Connections. Our next Commonwealth link is back in the Caribbean, in Barbados, a cultural hybrid of colonial British culture and African rhythms dating back to the plantation era. We're going to hear a piece by Wayne Punka Willocks and Rukatuk International, his three-man tuk band of bass drum, snare drum and penny whistle, in a tradition that you can quite clearly hear going back to Scottish marching bands. Wayne Punka Willocks and Rokotuk International. The next heritage track is all about the connection to the land, a universal theme for sure. Gideon Mthembu ran marathon at Olympic level for Swaziland, going on to work promoting track and field in his own country and right across southern Africa. And summing up Gideon's feelings for his homeland is Swazi singer Boloja with a Siswati song called Nzawo Yami from his album Swazi Soul.
My name is Gideon Mthembu, from Swaziland. I've competed for the country in the marathon event and also other long distance events. I represented the country at the Commonwealth Games and the Olympic Games and other World Championship Games. At the Commonwealth Games in Edinburgh, I was running the 1500 meters and the 800 meters for the country. I established the national records on both events and competed with big names like Sebastian Coe, Steve Crum. These events are very important. They are there to unify the world, they are there to unify the country, they are there for people to pride in. They're inspirational, they could be openings and opportunities for, especially for the young generation, if they are doing very well. And they could be recognized, and this is the way, you know, participating in this event, this is how you quickly get to be known, or rather you quickly become a celebrity in this part of the world. My favorite Swazi music, I choose Boloja. I've never met Boloja, but I've got his music, I love his music. It's very good and soothing. He sings in vernacular, which is quite unique in my view. And he has been coming up, he comes from a humble background, and I'm very grateful for him to be where he is now. And the music that he's playing is very, very beautiful. Nzawo Yami, if you listen to the music, you will hear that it talks about a place in Swaziland. Your father will give you a piece of land as part of your estate. That land, even if you move away, you go away, you go live in America, you go live in London, that place still remains your place. Swazis, once you've got a piece of land given to you, you mark it. Also, the place you relate it with the kind of creatures that live around there and all the landmarks surrounding that place. Yeah, that's what the song is all about. At the end of it, he is proud that is his place, where he comes from. Even when you're not there, you still realize and pride that this is where you come from.
Boloja and Inzawuyami, and a follow-up album to Swazi Soul is currently in the pipeline. You're listening to me, Marianne Kennedy, taking a look back at some of the highlights of World on 3's Commonwealth Connections, BBC Radio 3's celebration of the 2014 Commonwealth Games. A 53-stop tour of the globe for an intrepid team of producers and engineers, capturing an audio picture of the infinite variety of the contemporary Commonwealth's cultures, and nowhere more intriguing than the Mediterranean island state of Malta, one of the most tactically and politically vital crossroads points of east, west, north and south in the region. The island just reverberates with centuries of coming and going, of trade and conflict, of peacetime and war. Gavin McCollum visited musician and composer Ruben Zara in May for a guided tour of traditional Maltese instruments that span those centuries. We were privileged to hear the first ever studio recording of the lira, brought back from extinction after 200 years. But first, let's hear the very impressive Maltese bagpipe, or Izzak.
The Maltese lira is your textbook example of an extinct instrument. I came across the instrument through lithographs, paintings, and literary references, and I was almost blown away because I had no idea that this string-bowed instrument was played in Malta. At first, I thought it was a rabab, a similar instrument very popular in the Arab world. So I went to Tunisia, I spoke to organologists over there, and as soon as they saw the instrument, they told me that is not a rabab, that is a lira. So I started to research about the lira, and the closest reference I found was in Calabria, in the south of Italy, and that probably it came from a Byzantine root, because in one of the literary references by a Maltese academic in the early 18th century, actually refers to the lira in his compendium of words and says very precisely that the Greeks introduced the lira in Malta, that it is very popular amongst young people in the countryside, and that it was introduced in the beginning of the 18th century, 1700s. The revival of the instrument was launched last year by Ettore Castagna, the expert who followed the research and the crafting of the prototype, but it has never been recorded in a studio. So this is actually the first formal recording of the Maltese lira after 200 years of extinction. Back on track, hopefully.
Thank you.
musical history brought to life. Do check out the whole Commonwealth Connections feature from Malta online, where you can also enjoy some sparring musical improv of a Maltese Sunday morning in the local pub. We head back to southern Africa now, to the Namibian bush, where the indigenous hunter-gatherer tribes of the San people cherish a way of life that's dying out. These two families that we'll hear are settled on the Zelda game farm close to the Botswana border and regularly share their traditions with visitors to the cattle and game ranch. Music like the work songs and healing dances they performed for producer Laura Metcalf.
My traditional name is Qasa, but people also call me Dresha in Afrikaans. My grandparents were originally from a part of Botswana. They lived up north in the desert of Kalahari. They survived out in the nature park there, gathering water roots, catching ostrich to eat, and they wore only handmade leathers. The San and Naro cultures are passed on carefully to each generation. Now we have to uphold these traditions and teach our children, because it's who we are. We can still survive in the bush today, and we teach our young families how to do this. We're very proud of our San heritage and culture. This berry dance is a working dance. We might sing it if we're out in the bush. One day, if we're sitting at home late in the afternoon and hungry, we'll go into the fields and pick some berries. If they're nice and red, we sing as we collect the berries, picking the fruit and putting it in bags to take home. We make the clicking noise to show the picking of the berries from the field. When we perform the dance at home, we usually sit in the center, singing and clapping, and the men dance around us in circles and joining in the singing. We are sitting in Namibia in the thick bush. The sun is behind us and we're looking towards the border of Botswana. I can hear the children and my grandchildren playing around us. There are no noises or rushing, just the peace of the birds and the children. In our tradition, if someone in the family gets sick, there's a traditional song and dance for healing them too. We gather the whole tribe together and make a great big fire. The sick person is brought into the center, wrapped up in blankets. Then we start the singing and dancing. The elder of the family will put their hands on the sick one and move their hands to see where the sickness is, humming the high and low tones as they do it. They go into a sort of trance to see what is wrong, dictating the pain and illness through the humming of the trance. When the person gets better, they stand and dance. This healing dance, sometimes called the ostrich dance, as the healing can go on for days, and you get very hungry singing and dancing for hours. So the men will go and hunt an ostrich, We would normally eat this when the sick one is better and have a feast to celebrate. Traditionally, the men hunt and use the animal skins to make leathers. We collect ba, which is a red root, and rub it into the leather to make it dark and shine beautifully. When the men dance, we wear kuri, which is a cocoon made by a moth. We cut these cocoons from the bushes, open them up, and put small stones inside, like a rattle. The men put a string or a thin animal tendon around it and wrap these around their legs. We use them for the beats and the dancing. It makes a lovely sound. The bush in Namibia is a beautiful place. We drink our tea with quietness in the morning, when everything is still, with the birds. We sometimes listen to the radio while we work. The grandchildren stay with us and we look after them and can hear them play.
The Naro families of the San people of the Kalahari, a Commonwealth connection with Namibia from February. A complete contrast to Namibia then in our next heritage track destination. Brunei is a relatively recent secession from Britain, gaining its independence in 1984, and its oil reserves make it one of the wealthiest nations in the world. This is a track from a Bruneian track star, 400-metre sprinter Mazaya Mahusin. She would have known what it must have felt like to be the sole representative of Brunei at Glasgow 2014, as cyclist Mohamed Imadi Abdaziz was. Mazaya was in exactly the same position at the London Olympics in 2012. Carrying the flag, she said, was one of the proudest moments of her life just the same. And the good memories carry on with a track that reminds her of playing with her siblings as a kid.
My name is Mazia Binti Mahusin and I'm 21 years old and I'm a runner for 400 metre. I participated in London Olympic 2012 and I was the first female athlete to represent Brunei Darussalam for the London Olympic 2012. And I was a flight bearer during the opening ceremony and I was really honoured to be able to carry the Brunei Darussalam flag. It's really a dream come true. When I get back from the London Olympic and I went to the shopping malls and a lot of people like are starting to recognize me and then they're like, oh, that's Mazia Mahusin. So then some of them like want to take a photo with me and I was really shocked though, and Some of them like say that we're really proud of you even though you didn't win anything. And they say thank you for being able to represent Brunei at the London Olympics, especially being the first female athlete. And I was really touched by them. I'm not actually a full-time athlete because I'm still studying also, which is in computer studies. I have to divide my time with to come for training and studies. For me, it is really difficult for female athletes in Brunei, and everybody like busy with their works and studies, so only me who continuously training, and mostly I have to train with the male athletes, which is really, really difficult for me to train with them. But for now, after the Olympic, I received a lot of good feedback, so now I have a junior, lots of junior female athletes train with me. Some of them like told me they train because of me, they train because they want to be like me. The song that I choose is called Sebarkan ke Seantero Dunia, who sing by Putri Noriza. And the song is about a traditional childhood Brunei games. And I remember me and my siblings always play these traditional games during our free times. And also the song is about Brunei, which is rich with nations and cultures, and the children must not be forgotten. Before the Olympic Games, I was about to stop running. It's really common to say there's no future in sports in Brunei, but I just want to change all the Bruneians' thought about it. I just want to show them that even though there's no future, I mean, it's nothing wrong to do whatever you want to do. I mean, I just want to show them that Brunei also have a lot of potential athletes, especially female athletes. That's how I'm trying to do now. I mean, I don't want to stop running because a lot of people start running because of me, and they told me they want to be like me. So, I mean, I don't want to stop running because of that. So I have to continue running and keep representing Brunei and make Brunei proud.
Sebarkan ke Seantero Dunia by Putri Noriza, a singer who takes her musical talents both from her Malaysian singer father and Bruneian singing mother. And that was the choice of Bruneian athlete Mazaya Mahusin. Let's return to Eastern Africa and another of the countries which share a portion of the Great Lake Victoria. Head east from Jinja and the source of the Nile towards Uganda's border with Kenya, and you reach a remote village which is home to the last surviving musicians of the Basoga royal courts, playing the giant pit xylophones that use the very ground as natural resonator.
The people in this village are Basoga people, and they speak a language called Lusoga. In this village is where I grew up. I have sweet memories of the village music that we used to hear when we were young, the drums that were played, and the xylophones that we played ourselves when we were little boys.
Yeah.
This xylophone has is laid on two banana stems that have papyrus cushioning for the slabs to rest on, and then separated with the sticks, as you see. But they also have to dig a pit which goes deeper towards those other big xylophones, as you can see, the huge slabs. So, you know, you have to act like a team. It's like a football team. Everybody has a role to play. The xylophone is such that when other players come in, they play a different thing from what you are playing. And your concentration has got to be on the part you are playing, fitting it very well into what the different players are playing, although they could also be disruptive to you. All the children are here. Some of these people should be cooking their food. It's about lunchtime and people are getting hungry, but nobody is going jawi. So music, first of all, invites people. The sound of a xylophone, the sound of a tuba fiddle is so pleasant to anybody. The village where we are now is typically people, not very rich people. Music speaks to their problems. They get new energy. They forget about the challenges that they are going through. Some of these children have lost their parents. Some of the parents here have got to refocus themselves, but they find themselves not able to do that. So when the music plays, they come and listen. The cassava hasn't been good this season, but it can be better next season. We don't have salt in the house, but we probably can find salt tomorrow.
The spectacular sound of the pit xylophones of the Bazogan Royal Court, recorded back in June by BBC Radio 3 engineer Martin Appleby for Commonwealth Connections. And do check out all the video, audio, blogs and galleries from our colleagues' travels around the world for this special series. Much of it downloadable as well to enjoy when you will. To one of the founder members of the Commonwealth next, to Canada and to the Atlantic East Coast. To Gaels, Newfoundland is still known as Talavinieishk, the land of fish. And while the days of big bounty are long gone, the fishing traditions and the sea still play a big role in the island's culture and identity. Amongst the musicians recorded at the Rocket Coffee House, once an old-fashioned balls of string and sealing wax hardware store in the capital, St John's, was fiddler, singer and scholar Christina Smith, for whom the songs of that ocean highway still hold a particular fascination.
My favourite shanty is actually not a sea shanty, it's Tickle Cove Pond, which really is a shanty. It's a work song. It speaks to the heart of Newfoundland, which I think is about community. And it's about this fellow who falls through the ice with his horse with a load of wood on and calls out to his neighbours. They all come running and he's afraid that his horse is going to die, so he ties a knot. They tie a rope around the horse's breast and they all have to haul to pull the horse out of the water. And of course the chorus goes, lay hold William Oldford, lay hold William White, lay hold of the cordage and pull all your might, lay hold of the bowline and pull all you can, and give me a lift with poor Kit on the pond. And this is actually one of my favorite Newfoundland songs. It's so beautifully written because this suspenseful situation just builds and builds through each verse of the song, and you don't find out what happens to that horse until the very last line of the song, where they do the shanty again, and the last line is, "And with that we pulled Kit out of Tickle Cove Pond." So yay, the horse is saved and all is well. I don't know what people do during the course of a day to make themselves feel better. I guess some people get up in the morning and they can't survive without a cup of coffee. And some people have to see a specific person in order to feel happy and in order to feel like they can get on with their day. For me, when I pick up my guitar, that is what makes my day. And that is what I get out of bed for in the morning.
Music making a real connection for Christina Smith, playing at the regular Tuesday session at the Rocket in St John's, part of Sushil K. Dade's postcard from Newfoundland back in February, the Canadian contribution to Commonwealth Connections here on World on 3. You're listening to me, Marianne Kennedy, taking a look back at some of the highlights of the series, celebrating the Commonwealth's myriad cultures in the run-up to Glasgow 2014. And we're bound for the Seychelles Islands next, an island nation indeed, or more accurately, a 155 island nation state in the middle of the Indian Ocean. Here, Lindsay Pell found herself in July in the midst of the Seychelles Carnival, where she saw La Troupe Nationale Seychelle in action, a band performing the music and dance of their Creole culture. Once again, a blend of European influences such as the quadrille and waltz with African rhythms and movements that connect to the continent a couple of thousand kilometres to the west.
Bienvenue pour Carnaval. Carnaval est so, Carnaval est excitant. Carnaval vous fait mouvementer. I love preserving my culture and I love promoting it. And so that's why I've chosen this group for me to keep up with what I like and also to share it with others. My favorite dance is the country dance. That's because we have the commander of the music and he tells you what to do and you have to do exactly what he says, which makes the dance beautiful. That's what I love about it. The commander is the one who tells you, like, okay, now you have to hold the hands and turn around. So you turn around. Now you have to go around the man and go back to your own and then dance around, you know, stuff like that. Or he can tell you, now two of you come in the middle and hold hands and turn around and go to the right and go to the left and stuff like that. It makes it beautiful.
With a country dance, you know, it's come from country dance. But if you go in France, they've got the same kind of dance, but they call it quadrille. You know, it's mostly, if you look at it, it's mostly the same thing, because we once bring a group quadrille here in Seychelles, and we had a workshop together, and it was the same dance, but just you know, a little steps, but it was really the same. That means we inherit it from the French, you know, when they were in Seychelles. This is part of it, and this is how we call a country dance. And there's lots of this is one, but there's at about 16 of them, of pieces that form part of the country dance. This is only one part, one piece.
The joie de vivre of the Seychelles, captured by La Troupe Nationale Seychelles. And do check out the blogs for this and the other Commonwealth connections so you can see some of the wonderful sights as well as the sounds of this global odyssey. Head for the Radio 3 website and World on 3. And once again, we're headed for a country whose music influence worldwide has been huge. But for a representative of South Africa, we weren't looking to the Masekelas, Makebas or Black Mambazos of this world, but to Madosini, a 92-year-old lady from a Cape Town township who plays the mouth bowl. With the help of an interpreter, she told stories of pre-apartheid rural South Africa between some fantastic, dramatic overtone singing and mouth bowl effects.
Mama, Igama lam Latozi Mpahlini. Isiduko sam ndingumadosini.
My name is Latozi Mpahlini. My clan name is Madosini. It is also my stage name. I was born in 1922 in Umtata in a village called Mpeko in the Eastern Cape. I started learning these instruments when I was 10 years old. There was no radio then, no TV, so music was our play, our game. The old ladies of the village taught us to play mkhube, the mouth bow. Then we taught the younger girls too. But my mother taught me my most special instrument, the uhadi. The words of the song means love is over. The girl in the village is crying because her boyfriend has said he doesn't love her anymore. I love the uhadi. I make it myself. I get a long straight stick from the forest and I bend it like a bow and put a wire string on. It has a resonator, which is a calabash. We grow these in our gardens. We take the seeds out and dry them out on our roofs until they are hard and brown. Then in Xhosa culture, we use the big ones for keeping cow's milk, and the small ones we use for cooking or for eating from. And to make the voice of the uhadi come out well, the calabash has to be pressed against the skin of my breast. And so we call the uhadi the boyfriend, because you can't play it when you're dressed. You have to get undressed and squeeze it against your skin. Then you twist your finger to get the notes. So yes, it's the boyfriend. I had an uncle who lived in Cape Town, and whenever I needed clothes, I used to come here from the village, and he would help me buy whatever I needed. Then I went back to the village. I had a child who came to Cape Town. She had 7 kids. Then she passed away. So I decided to move to Cape Town to look after the kids. That was in 1972. I now live here in Langa Township. I like it because I still feel like I'm living in my village. This is my only room, and it's very small for me and my kid. But I live well with my neighbors, and so I'm happy here. I get more work here. Sometimes my friends call and say, Madonsini, I have a job for you. And I go, sometimes abroad. Sometimes it's quiet and there's no work, and I go hungry. But then I get a call, and I go and work, and I'm happy. Thank you.
from February this year, Madasini in Cape Town in South Africa. Coming close to our final destination in tonight's Commonwealth Connections. But there's time for just a couple more, including the Bahamas heritage track of Olympic sprint relay gold medalist Chris Brown. His memories are of a rather different competition, though, becoming the leading young drummer on the island as a kid. And the music is that of Junkanoo, the music of the colourful annual street parades, whose rhythms are still with him when he's preparing for top flight athletic competition.
Junkanoo is the number one parade, the number one sound of the Bahamas that everyone can relate to. It's made up of goatskin drums, cowbells, horns, whistles, and different design costumes. I mean, you can see anything from a giant rooster to a crawfish. The Junkanoo Parade would happen twice for the year, Boxing Day and also New Year's. You get up in the wee wee hours of the morning to parade the streets, and once all those combination of sounds and instruments come together, you have no choice but to move your feet and rock to the beat. My name is Chris Brown. I'm a Olympic gold, silver and bronze medalist. I run the 400 meters for Bahamas and also the 4x4. I'm from a small island of Eleuthera, and that's one of the outer family islands throughout the 700 islands and keys of the Bahamas. Music is important to the Bahamian public in general, especially Junkanoo, because just hearing the songs of the drum and the horns and the whistle blowing, it brings the people together. It makes everyone connect. We put the differences aside. Everyone is able to, you know, shake and move and dance, and no matter how cold it is, everyone is jumping to the sound of the beat, and it dates back into the day, and I guess from our African ancestors. So as soon as we hear those goatskin drums beating, we know inside of us it goes way back. But some people now, you know, today, they probably don't know the full true history. But for me, I can feel that a part of me still lies there. When you get on the streets, the first thing you notice is the crowd of people gathering and walking around. That's the first thing. You're going to also see a lot of fires because the drums need to be heated. So they have fire sometimes to keep the drums warm because the goat skin has to stretch in order for the sound to come out perfectly the way they want it. And now, with this modern day now, they put the fire actually inside the drum. A small little fire is lit inside the drum through the whole time to keep the drums warm. Leading up to the main parade, which will be New Year's Day and Boxing Day, you can actually hear the groups practicing in different areas of the island. Every weekend, where everybody's off from work, there is a Junkanoo group practicing somewhere. You just have to find a location. Even if you're just riding by, if you see a big fire lit somewhere, you already know this one group will be practicing here. And the practice now has become somewhere where the general public goes out and watch, or your friends will send you a YouTube link to say, look, this is what practice looked like today, you know, and everybody go and support their favorite groups that they want to hear. Every now and then, you know, it'll be a small little competition here or there, or a little rush out, they call it. So you get to see it and hear it, a little bit of it on a regular. It's a very special place in my heart for Junkanoo music. I feel I can listen to any other music out there, rap, hip-hop, R&B, soca, but I feel as though Junkanoo is a part of me and my culture. When I was young growing up, I was playing the drums. So I had my little goatskin drum and my little costume, and one of my happiest moments was when I was basically chosen to be a lead drummer on Iludra. We basically had to do a show with just the drummers to see who could be the best drummer, and I was going up against three of the best drummers we had. I cleaned off my drum, I warmed it up real nice, and I was in the corner by myself until it was time for us three to get in the circle. And I prayed over my drum, and I mean, my drum was on point. It was sounding real good, nice and warm. The warmer your drum, the better the sound of the beat. Once I went into the circle, I just did what I needed to do and came out victorious. And I was the lead drummer from then, and everyone was celebrating and throwing me up in there because I was small, and I was one of the smallest in the group. And that was one of the best moments that I had growing up as a child. I would be looking forward to coming and representing in Glasgow for the Commonwealth Games 2014. When I'm warming up and getting ready for my competition, I listen to music. I make sure that I have my CD or my player is on Junkin' in Music, because it brings out a different beast inside myself. As a little boy growing up, you know, it sticks with you and it carries you through life, and that rhythm just sticks to the mind and to the brain, to where I feel like I'm undefeated. Like, hey, this is my stage, this is my show, and I gotta bring out the best, and that Junkin' in Music helps me to do that.
Chris Brown, medal-winning athlete and champion drummer. Now you know. I hope you've enjoyed revisiting some of the highlights from World on 3's Commonwealth Connection series, celebrating the worldwide cultures and music of the 53 countries taking part in Glasgow 2014 this summer past. A final reminder that all the connections are to be found on the BBC Radio 3 website, with plenty to read, watch and download. Thanks to all the intrepid producers and engineers who sallied forth in search of beautiful, exhilarating and unusual sounds, and to Juan Carlos Jaramillo, who compiled tonight's highlights. You've been listening to me, Marianne Kennedy, and I'm going to leave you in the Solomon Islands and the sounds of the instruments made from one of the island's most readily available resources, bamboo. Here are the Warana Panpipe Ensemble with their joyful, life-affirming sound, recorded in May at the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Studios in the capital city of Honiara. Enjoy, and Bliain na bhagúd na dhíchí. The real celebrations for a Scot are, of course, New Year. So have a good one when it comes. Good night.
In Solomon Islands, bamboo grew everywhere in the islands, but where I came from, we turned it into music. My name is Francis Nwaisi, and I'm the Communication and Promotion Officer for the Wauraha Panpipers. And we have 15 band members. The Wauraha name just represents all the tribes that we came together and form up this band. The first song, Pai Pai Au, it means we are digging swamp taro, preparing it for the feasting. It's the part of the traditional food. and we cannot go without it in any feasting.
My name is Ben Ninipua. I'm the lead palm piper. My palm pipe is made from bamboo, cut in different lengths and tied together to make different notes. Most of our music, we use fast tempo. We always play fast music during feasting times so that we can entertain. And most of our music can make anybody dance.
My name is John Wesley. I'm the drummer for the band. Because it's raining today, we are performing at the Solomon Radio Station. My drums is made of pandanus trunk. Pandanus in Solomon Islands, we usually made the leaves to weave mats, baskets, and the trunk, when it get like old, we usually cut them into the size we want at different lengths, then just make it look good. Then we just put a cover at the end. So then we just stand it up and hit it.
Hello and welcome to Through the Night on BBC Radio 3 with me, Katriana Young. We're in Bergen to start with tonight to join the city's Philharmonic for a concert they gave at the Grieg Hall in January. Andrew Litten was in charge well over a decade into his tenure as their principal conductor, and they also welcomed the violinist Nicola Benedetti for the Concerto No. 1 by Max Bruch. Prokofiev's Fifth Symphony ended their programme, but they began at home, at least partly at home. The composer was the Norwegian Johan Svensson, but he wrote the piece in Bayreuth and he called it Carnival in Paris, which is exactly what it sounds like. And when Wagner saw the score, he thought so too. Most amusing, he said.